Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 62 of Marketing Corner with Casper and Jen.
Yay! Woo! Boop, 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 boop. Handshake. We're dancing.
Gangnam Style. Like your son. Casper.
Yes.
Today we're going to talk about something that you and I both know, and we're going to give a little hair flip.
Yeah, it's humble brag time, right?
Can you give me a little hair flip?
Yeah,
you have longer hair than me these days.
I technically, I actually do, yeah.
We're going to talk about speaking gigs.
Yes.
How do you get them?
And what do you do once you
what
got
do you
it?
Do? How do you I know how you pump yourself up.
Yeah. How do you do that?
Eye of the tiger.
Yes, that's true. It's actually
corner.
My motivational thing before I do is like, I have the tiger, and then I listen, get ready peeps. I listen to motivational videos on YouTube. Like these speeches were like, why do we fall? Like only to pick ourselves back up. Those kind of things. I'm such a cliche, I know. But anyways,
are you American?
Yeah, sometimes
that feels like
I might
an
be
American
yeah.
High school football coach.
I don't know. My wife laughs so hard at me about this. I don't know. It fucking works.
Whatever works, man.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I get pumped.
Yeah. I listen to Lizzo, and I'm not going to apologize for it.
Yeah, that's fine.
But I also listen to like Robin and anything like.
That's all part.
Yeah, yeah. Let's do this. Let's go. But Casper. Over to you.
Yes.
You've done your fair share of speaking gigs.
Safe I've
to say.
Done,
you've just had one.
I think that's also a little bit why we're here, right? Mm-hmm. Since at the point of this recording, last week I did the talk at a conference called Marketing Camp, which is I think it's technically the biggest marketing conference in Denver. Pretty big.
Okay.
Like there's like I want to say 800 people or something. Like it's quite a lot of people.
Okay.
At this event, and there's a lot of really cool speakers. It's unfortunately only in Danish, which I'm not a huge fan of, but it is what it is. But really cool event, and I've been there. This is my third time speaking at the event, so
nice.
I've done it a few times. The reason I also wanted to talk about this today is that I got a bunch of feedback.
Mm-hmm.
You get feedback like in a survey afterwards, and you get an evaluation. And so that's kind of like the foundation for being. But I think let's take a step back. So how do we get these speaking gigs? I think you and I have a slightly different, like you're a little bit more proactive.
Mm.
Personally, how I got speaking gigs is literally just word of mouth. Mm. Like I've been active on LinkedIn and then the speaking conferences have come to me. I've done well at those conferences most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that has kind of led to the next conferences.
Yep.
And then I consistently have just a flow of conferences I go for. I haven't been super proactive about it. It's on my to-do list of things I want to do, but to be honest, I haven't.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, and there's a few that I've been asked to do, but the bigger ones that I've done, like Inbound.
Yeah.
Inbound's probably the biggest. I do apply.
Yeah.
And so I have kind of a spreadsheet of all the deadlines of the big ones that I'd like to talk at, and some of them I haven't been invited, some of them I have, and I just make sure I apply by the deadline with what I want to talk about, and
yeah.
I think there's probably four or five conferences that I apply for. And I've been successful in three of
okay.
five, I would say.
That's
so
pretty good
so
rate,
that's
though.
Pretty good.
Yeah. What about you're talking at Sassiest tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow.
Is that your first time there?
First time at Sassiest.
I've
Not
never been
first
there.
Time trying. First time.
But you applied for that
Daniel.
One.
No. So what happened with... So I have applied in the past.
Okay.
To speak at Sassiest. And actually, I was speaking at Sasser in London.
I honestly always confuse those two.
Yeah. So Sasser
yeah.
is... different.
Jason Lemkin, right?
That's right. It's Jason Lemkin. So
yeah.
Usually it's in the US. They went to London and I was invited to speak along with our investors.
Okay.
So investors brought me on stage with them, which was really awesome. Thank you, Verdane. And the Sassiest, Daniel and Thomas were in the crowd.
Okay.
And then afterwards, they were like, we'd like for you to speak. So
perfect.
It was
amazing. And that's how it goes,
pitch.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So that's how that happened. So I'm speaking at Sassiest tomorrow with okay. April Dunford. And
that Leah. Is cool. What?
Yeah. My new
Go
best
girl.
Friends.
Where is it again?
It's digital.
Ah, it's digital.
It's digital.
Time.
So okay. I'll be here.
Yeah.
In this beautiful studio.
That's a bit of a shame. Oh,
no yeah, I would love to get on stage.
Yeah,
of course,
exactly.
But they're in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
No.
I think they were like, aren't they Sweden based?
They're Sweden based, but they've just launched one in Amsterdam. So
oh,
they were
okay,
just
cool.
in Amsterdam.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Hoping that they have me on stage maybe later in the year.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers
Bring
crossed.
Me on
then.
As well. But and the thing is, I'm kind of like, it's kind of really funny. Like, once you become like an agency owner or something similar, there's something happens. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm still invited to speak at a lot of things, don't get me wrong, but it's not the same.
Like, you're going to pitch yourself.
Yes. People
and they don't
are
want
afraid
that.
I would do that.
Yeah.
I never do that.
Yeah.
But I would never do that.
Yeah.
But like at marketing camp, I had less slides about what I do than I usually would do. So, but it's you're treated slightly different.
Okay.
Like, and I think that's just like because people, agency owners, were the worst.
You are
an exception, but not. But we are. So we are the worst. Yeah. Okay. Cool. So that's how we get the gigs. It's not actually revolutionary, but like either applying for them or getting them inbound. Like,
and it's a bit, I will say, from applying. So the first time I ever did any speaking gig was inbound.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty hell of a way to start.
That's right. You told me.
Yeah. So what I actually had to do. So for inbound, they're no joke. So you have to submit a video of you speaking previously so they can see how you are on stage. Any of your social following, you know, they check everything out and you have to have a plan of exactly what you're going to talk about, your key takeaways and stuff like that. So it's not just, hey, I want to talk. It's like, here's a full-on application.
Yeah.
And I had never spoken really at anything before, and I didn't have a video to show how I speak. So I just balanced a phone on a bunch of books, and I just gave my pitch to the camera and got it. And then from there, they recorded my inbound, and I sold out inbound the first time I was there. I was on stage in front of 350 people, my first time on stage in Boston. So
that is what we officially call a disturbed humble brag.
Thank you very much.
That's really well done.
And I did it the second year as well, the following year. But it's almost like a vicious cycle. Like, you have to have experience to get the experience.
Yeah.
And so I guess before we go too far into the speaking gigs, just in terms of getting them, put yourself out there, make a video. I had my pajamas from the waist down. I had a blazer and a nice top on, and you know, because it was just like, you know, here up.
Yeah.
And I just did my best.
What did you talk about?
I talked about what I wanted to talk about on stage. So I said, hey, I'm applying to speak about this and this and this.
Oh, yeah, but at the actual stage.
On the actual stage, it was how we increased lead generation using Facebook ads.
Okay.
Yeah.
No hard feelings, but pretty basic.
Pretty basic, like, but we had numbers. That was the other thing. I said, how we increased our lead gen by over 400% using Facebook ads without going broke. So it was kind of having those numbers in there and having tangible takeaways. I wasn't there to sell myself. I was like, here's what I did.
Yeah.
Here's how it worked for me. Here's the challenges. Here's the pitfalls. Here's what didn't work. It's like a 45-minute talk.
Yeah.
And then from there, now I have a portfolio of speaking gigs that I can just share. So that's
Here. Like, once you have the first one, it kind of rolls. Yeah. Like, it gets a lot easier.
Yeah, it gets a lot easier.
So I want to talk a little bit about the benefits of speaking. Mm. What are some of the benefits you found by speaking?
I think there's twofold. One is obviously your own personal brand.
Yes.
It has helped me get jobs. It has helped me with my career. It has helped me get, kind of recognized for people. I had an interview with a candidate last week who was like, aren't you Jen from Marketing Corner? And I was like, I am Jen from Marketing Corner. I'm not
that expert. Is the whole purpose behind the podcast, peeps.
It's just to be recognized.
Yeah, we crave it.
We crave attention, guys.
That's all we want.
I want you to flock to me when you see me on the metro.
That's actually the day we quit the podcast.
No photos.
The Swifties.
We have big glasses.
Okay.
But yeah, so sorry, first one, branding. But the second one, actually, I think, when you talk about what you do, you have to be better at what you do.
No, you stole my point. I love that. And I keep saying that to people all the time. Exactly. Right?
Like this.
We're like this. It's connected.
Weird.
Cool. No, but exactly, right? Yeah. When you explain why you do what you do, you become better at doing it.
Yes.
Right? Like, if you can't explain why you do what you do, you don't know it well enough.
Yeah.
And I keep saying that to, like, literally at marketing camp, I explained it to some people who were, like, curious about speaking. And I was like, that's why I do things. Yeah. Like, that's part, like, not only reason, but it's definitely part of it.
And I think for me, when I prepare my talk, and this could be imposter syndrome, I don't know if you have this, but imposter syndrome makes me go, for the people in the crowd going, she has no fucking idea what she's talking about.
Yeah.
I present for them. So I'm like, here's my data. Here's what I've done. Here's actionable insights. You know, I make it as watertight because I'm presenting for that person in the crowd who's like, she has no idea what she's talking about.
Yes.
I'm going to change your mind.
Yeah.
That person probably doesn't exist, but that's my mentality of like, this is how airtight I want to make this presentation.
That's great. I love that. I think so. One of the things, so I got some feedback from last week,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know, did you get feedback on inbound or something?
Yeah, you get like survey results. Yeah.
Okay, was it good? How was it?
Yeah, it was one of the highest ranked ones, which is why they invited me back the second year, which is pretty good. But I think I can't remember necessarily bad stuff aside from like speaking too fast, which I tend to do as a New
Yorker. Exactly. Yeah. And that's one of the things we're going to get into now. So I got my feedback last week, and you could rate me on a scale of 1 to 5.
Okay.
I think 1 to 5 or 0 to 5, but I think 1 to 5. The lowest being literally bad and the highest being very good. Mm-hmm. 80% of what I got was either a 5, so very good. Mm-hmm. That was 40%-ish, maybe 36 or something. And the other 40%-ish were around number 4, which is like very good. Yeah. Also good, but not very good. Mm-hmm. Like not top grade. And then I got like a few in between, like 3 in the middle. And then I got 4 votes for the, not the lowest one, but next lowest one. Okay. That's called, in their world, little disappointing.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I had 20 comments or something. So I think there was like 40 people who saw my talk or something.
Okay.
Nice. And when you look at it, you're like, okay, 80% found this was really fucking awesome, right? Like good or the very best, right? Yeah. Like that's good. Don't get me wrong. This is a nice grade. I've had betters, but I've also had worse. Mm. So this is very good. But it's always, this is speaking of imposter syndrome and such, it's like, this is always the hardest part. And it's such a classic, for me, it's like such a classic human thing. I'm very aware of myself doing this, but I just can't stop it. Mm. Is that I tend to only look at the bad shit, right?
Okay.
I look at the good shit, like, hey, I know I'm good. I can see from the data I'm good, but there's this one guy who said this one thing was wrong.
and that
annoys the shit out of me.
Yep.
And that's the thing. But
we all do that, though.
Exactly.
Who amongst us doesn't do that?
Exactly. We all do that. And it's such a shame. It's like, overall, this was great. And when I look at some other people are sharing their feedback, I found a few people who did a little bit better, but most people did worse than me, like in terms of survey type. Yeah. So I'm pretty good. Yeah. Like, I think I'm pretty good. But, and that's one thing I wanted to chat to you about, is how do you handle that feedback and also satisfying the audience, and that's something I'll get to. But first of all, I wanted to ask, in terms of feedback, how do you take it when you get the feedback?
I mean, I'm human, so anything negative, I will 100% focus on the negative. But I think for me,
it's dangerous, right?
It's dangerous, but also I think when you work in marketing, you have to have thick skin. Like anyone with a Facebook account,
my skin is so much thicker than it used to be. No, yeah, in a good way.
True.
Like
when
I did my first talk, if I got this feedback, I would have been very focused on the one negative or two.
You know what I had from inbound? This is completely unrelated, but I got reached out to by my high school bully.
Okay.
Who reached out to me saying, my friend went to your talk and she was said it was the best talk she'd ever been to. And I was like, my high school bully, who I haven't spoken to since the 90s,
awesome.
Was like, yeah. So I was like, how did you get this email?
Yeah.
But anyway, so I think it's only human. But I think at the end of the day, you have to go, I'm on stage. I presented the best that I can.
Yeah.
I think over the years, I've gotten much more confident. So even if something doesn't go wrong, if your clicker doesn't work, if your microphone goes off, like I'm able to handle that.
It's funny because that shit doesn't bother me anymore.
Yeah.
Not at all. Not slight. Don't get me wrong. I'd rather shit works. And I always double check before I go. So
of course,
I'm really good at avoiding that stuff. I don't know.
But... Yeah. So practice makes perfect. Which is a tip for speaking gigs.
Exactly.
Practice.
Clicker, by the way, please. Always bring your own clicker.
Bring your own clicker.
But one thing, some of the feedback I got, I think this is kind of interesting. So some of the feedback I got was that for some of the people, this was like best talk of the day. Loved it. This was super nerdy. Loved it. Casper has such an energy, like really good feedback, right? And then there's the feedback. Hey, this was too nerdy for me. Hey, this was moving too fast. Casper was trying to say too much in too little time and stuff like that. And I think one of the things I really want to talk to you about and ask you here is that how do you... Because one of the things I really hate is like, I don't want to feed the masses, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk to the masses. Everybody know her feelings, but everybody can talk. Here's how to do marketing strategy, like 101. Or here's how to set up a Facebook ad from the beginning. Yeah, fine. Like everyone can do that.
Yeah.
I want to talk like this. My talk here was about LinkedIn, like our LinkedIn framework we developed and how you like support that with hacks. Pretty fucking awesome stuff, right?
And techie, nerdy.
Super techie. And I always get put into a box, like in a lot of the speaking gigs I do, because like I am the tech nerdy guy.
You are.
I get invited because, hey, Casper, he's the one who can bring some advanced shit to this. Because everybody can talk about, here's the 7 copywriting tips, you know, or feelings. But a lot of people can do that. So I get invited to talk about that, but it always filters out. So I don't like I'm getting to is that, how do you feel about scaring some people away and catering to the crowd you really care about. Is that something you think about?
I think yes, and I think that's when I do my brief. I try to be like super on point. These are the key takeaways you're going to get.
Yeah.
And I put that in the brief right away, which is usually what will be advertised.
Yeah.
So hopefully, and some, a lot of places will say, this talk is intended for, and you can say like beginners, middle.
So hard.
Yeah. So you can kind of try to tailor it. But my jam is like, this is what I said I'm talking about. This is all I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So like I'm giving a talk tomorrow about how we do growth at Onomondo.
Yeah.
And I'm like, these are the four takeaways. There's a part about it that I could talk about experimentation, but I'm not going into that because that's not what this is about. So I think for me, I try to solve that in the beginning by being very clear, this is what we're going to get.
Yeah.
And making sure that if people don't want that, don't sign up.
I think I need to be even better at that.
Yeah.
I think I've improved every year, but that's something I think I need to be even better at.
Yeah.
I think I want to, next time I do a speaking, I'm speaking at something called Email Summit in March next year. That's I have other plans, but that's one of the big ones. I was also speaking at an AI conference in January, I think, or something. Which is also super interesting. And I haven't made the briefs yet, so I need to do that. But I think that's good advice.
Yeah.
Like being able, because I've tried, I get
less
better.
Less is more.
Yeah.
You know, and I think maybe for you, it's a little bit different because when you go into your hack mode,
yeah,
there's so many things you can do. And
it's
that's so technical for people. And I'm not as technical as you.
No.
So I'm more strategic and I'm more like, these four things we tested and this is how we tested that more.
Yeah.
You know, so when you dive deep, maybe you need to narrow down. Like today, we are going to talk only about how you can hack this.
Yeah.
But that's
exactly. And I think that's like, it's like a balance because at the same time, like also sometimes I'm thinking like, yes, I need to fundamentally change how I speak and how I do these things. But at the same time, I'm like, I keep getting invited back. People keep fucking love
so
it.
So
there must be something right.
Yeah.
Like there
but
must
you're
be
not
something
please
right.
Everyone.
No. And I think that's my point. Right.
Yeah, you're not
and I think
everyone.
The people. This is going to sound very harsh, but fuck it. Here we go. Some of the people who dislike my talk last week...
can go fuck themselves.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
I'm kidding.
You said it, but no, but that's definitely... those are not the people I cater to anyways.
Yeah.
I think that's my point.
Mm.
And I think it's my mistake to not have described what we were supposed to talk about enough beforehand to have scared them away.
Yeah.
I should have done a better job of scaring them away before.
Exactly.
But it's also like a catch 22 because like at the same time, also one like my talk was fully booked, right?
Yeah.
Like I was a sold out room. There was no more seats. I want that.
Yeah, it feels
right?
Nice.
No, I want a fully booked room.
Yeah.
So I don't want to scare too many off. Like, hey, this is gonna be super. This is only gonna cover this.
Yeah.
And like so, but I think I have a job to do there.
Think about it like a conversion form.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, you don't want everyone and their cousin to sign up, but you want the right people to sign up who are going to get something out of it.
Yeah. And for the right people, the talk I gave last week was golden.
Yeah.
Like pure
gold. And they're going to walk away.
Gold.
And that's the other thing I try to do. They can walk away with something they can do today.
I love that.
Yeah.
And that's also my general approach. And it's been that for a while. I hate talks. Like, this is going to sound awful again, but I've never been to a conference I had to pay for. Boom. And why? The ones I've been to where I've spoken at and listened to afterwards, I can count on one hand the talks where I felt like this was useful. This was good. And it's for me, it's like you can be three things. You can be inspirational, those I can like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want a whole day filled with inspirational stuff.
Yeah.
That doesn't help me. That can work. Then there's the strategy / mindset talks. Those I think can be really good, but they are for me super hard to nail.
Mm.
Like, the ones that talk about strategy or mindset, like motivational mindset, something like that, are like you have to be an extremely good speaker to do that. For me, at least, that's what I experienced. And then there's the nerdy ones. Those are the three talks that I potentially get something out of. Most talks, I feel like, are in the middle crowd.
Yeah.
Whereas like mindset, strategy, something.
Mm-hmm.
And no hard feelings, but usually it's not good.
Yeah.
Like it's just not good. Like it's just, at least for me, it's not high enough level. It's like... In B2B marketing, you can do right or left. And you have to convince people to buy from you. Like, yes, I know that.
Yeah.
That's why I'm here. Come on.
Yeah.
Spend
next?
10 minutes on this. Like, I heard a talk not too long ago. I'm not going to say where. But I heard a talk and it was like, we spent the first 5 minutes of talking about sales and marketing should be best friends. I'm like, yes.
We know.
How the fuck do you do it?
Yeah.
Like, let's not, like, I know the problem. Talk about how we get there.
And I think the other thing that I do to avoid that is I don't say, here's what you should do. I don't want to get fluffy. I usually say, here's what we did. here's what we did. And then I can give concrete examples, because I think where I have struggled in the past is like, this is how you design your strategy. Well, everyone's different. Every company's different.
It's
Every
so
product is different.
contextual.
And people are going to go, this isn't relevant for me. But instead, I say, this is how we increased our lead gen with Facebook ads. We did this and this and this and this. Take of this what you will. It's a buffet. You don't have to eat everything. You can take from here and you can take from here and you can come back for seconds. But
and it's so funny because like I did exactly the same last Thursday. And one of the feedback points I get, and sometimes I'm like, you fucking idiot. But no, but one of the feedback points I got was like, hey, I wish it was a bit more like closely related to some of the cases I work on, to my case. I'm like, first of all, I don't know what the fuck you're working on. Secondly, I used examples from SparkForce. That's a, we're a 5-10 man agency, like closer to 10 soon. 10-man agency, we're pretty small. Doesn't get much smaller than us. I used examples from us. I used examples from United FinTech, which is the next bracket. I used examples from Templify, which is the even bigger bracket. And I used fucking examples from Salesforce. Like, what
don't
do you
get bigger
want?
Than Salesforce.
Like, it's like all four. Like,
so those people came to a buffet, but they actually wanted...
Only wanted steak.
Only
and
wanted...
they went to a buffet with steak and fish and salad and shit. But they only wanted the steak.
Yeah, and they're complaining that there's fish there.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, dude, come on.
Yeah.
Like, you know what you
do
want.
Do you get
to.
Stage fright?
Not anymore.
Yeah.
But I talked to someone the other day, and they put it the right way, and I say I totally agree. It's just like, I actually, is that like, speaking of motivational speakers, but a motivational speaker also said this. It's like, if you don't get... There's a difference between excited and nervous.
Yeah.
Nervous is bad. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't want to be nervous, but you want to be, like, slightly anxious.
Yeah.
Slightly excited anxious.
Mm-hmm.
And I get slightly excited anxious. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, a few years ago, I would get nervous.
Yeah.
And that's what you get to an exam. Like, I have to go to an exam in school.
Yeah.
That was the bad nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Now I get excited. I'm like, whew, I can't sit still. It's exciting. And I'm a little, don't get me wrong, it's not, I'm not feeling awesome. But I'm not nervous anymore because I know my shit.
Yeah, exactly.
I know my slides. I know what I'm here to talk about. I've done this 50 times. I'm okay. But of course, but I think the day you don't get like have anything tingling, that's the day something's wrong.
You're doing, but I think, yeah, you can also, like this talk I'm giving tomorrow, I've given it twice now. And like, it's good. People obviously are getting something out of it, but I feel like I know it quite well. But I want to evolve it now.
Okay.
Like, what's the next stage? What's the V2? And
stuff
like that.
Have you changed anything from last time?
I've changed a little bit. It's a different audience.
Okay.
So it's more broader. So I was talking like, this is what we do at Onomondo. But it's still kind of that. But talking about growth versus marketing, what you can expect, the challenges that you have.
Yeah.
And then I talk about some of our results, which I obviously had to update since the last time I gave this talk was in May?
Yeah.
May, I believe. So it's different. It's a different twist, but the vibe is still there, and I know it inside out.
Yeah.
So I'm also doing it digitally, which is a little bit. I don't have that stage thing that I get pumped up for. And I will say this one thing I always do when I get on stage, is I take a crowd selfie.
I always forget it.
Yeah, you take a crowd selfie, and that is for me. It sets the tone. Like it puts everyone at ease. And the line I give, which was true when I first did it, and it was so helpful that I use it still to this day, I said, my mom doesn't think I have a real job.
Yeah.
So can I just take a crowd selfie?
Oh, you're so much better than I am.
Can I just take a crowd selfie with you? And then I took the crowd selfie.
I am so annoyed they didn't do it.
Yeah, I do that every time I do a talk.
I've done.
And it sets the stage. But one time I did it, and I was recording, so I also will record on my phone.
Yeah.
To have the audio file for whatever I need for getting better. And sometimes I forget to start recording when I take the picture.
I watch my own recordings.
Yeah, I do too.
I have one last thing I want to add. So this is something just also to let people know that I actually think a lot about this stuff. I care a lot about this stuff. So what I've planned before, I'm going to do this talks in January and March. The ones I planned, the big ones.
Mm-hmm.
I have some other small stuff. But the ones, big ones I planned, I'm actually going to hire a coach.
Ooh.
A speaking coach, because I'm like, I'm always up looking to optimize. So I'm like, okay, currently I see myself as a 4, a solid, really good 4
out of
5.
Okay,
it's a
modest.
Out of 100.
Out of 100.
No, I see myself as a 4, like a really good, solid pick. Like I always, usually when I get ratings, I get 4, 4.5, which is very high, like top 5, top 10 of the people. It's very good, but I've never win. I never have the best rating, and I very rarely get in top 3.
Okay.
It does happen time to time, but very rarely. And I'm like, fuck this shit. My goal for next year is to win. I want to be the best speaker at an event.
Mm.
I don't care what it's about I'm talking. I don't care what event, but I want to, when I come out of it, I want to be the highest rated one.
Mm-hmm.
And how do I take it to the next level? And I don't think I can do that without some sort of help.
Okay.
Because I think I've done it 50 times, you know, at some point you're like, okay.
Yeah, how do I take this up a notch?
And I think this time was like, I improved a lot of things. My slides were better. My confidence was so much better than before. Mm-hmm. Like, and I got a lot of credit for a boost and stuff, but I still missed on a few things.
Yeah.
I feel like. So how do I get it to the next stage?
Yeah.
I want to be the keynote, right? At some
I'd love
shit.
To be a keynote. I was on the main stage at Tech Barbecue, but I was on a panel.
Yeah.
Which is still pretty good. I'm not complaining. Don't get me wrong, but I want to be a keynote.
Exactly.
Someday.
We should be that someday.
We should.
So, I haven't really decided on which one, but I'm going to hire it.
Let's make our own conference. And then we'll be joint keynotes.
Sparkfortion.
Spark.
No, no. We'll work on that.
Maybe don't call it that.
Yeah.
No, I agree. And I think, you know, inbound, not complaining. Tech Barbecue, Saster, Sassy is like, I'm quite content with what I have. But yeah, I would love to get back to inbound. Again, I haven't been accepted in the last few applications that I've done because they're like AI or they're doing stuff, but I would like to get back to inbound. That was, I mean, there's what, 40,000 people at inbound, not in every talk, but you know, I think it's a place where I associate change and like value, when people get a lot of value. And I love after a talk when people come up to me and people are coming.
Well, let's make this official, right? Like next year we're going to inbound because we're a HubSpot partner at Sparkforce anyway. So we're like, we couldn't do it this year because it was a little bit too soon. But
yeah,
also cash flow is expensive. But
the tickets are like
really expensive.
Yeah,
but we're definitely, we're going next year. We're already planning the trip and stuff.
I used to live in Boston.
So next year, the goal here for everyone listening, me and Jen are both speaking at stage.
And I'll
hopefully keynotes, but. We can
keynote at inbound.
Yeah.
Me, Michelle Obama.
Yeah, I was about to say, Michelle Obama or something.
Barack Obama, I actually spoke at the recently.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think it was Reese Witherspoon this year.
Reese Witherspoon was this year. I was speaking the same year as Michelle Obama. So I like to say I spoke with Michelle Obama, just at different stages at different times.
Yeah, I don't think that works.
It doesn't float.
That note, peeps. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Good luck with your speaking gigs.
Get those applications out there.
Yes. Be a little bit more proactive than this guy.
Actually, can I just one parting note?
Yeah.
Because I think Simona.
Yeah.
Messaged me on LinkedIn about how our speaking gigs and we're inspiring things like that. And I want everyone to know that we also were those people who were like, oh, I wish I could do that.
Yeah.
And it takes you just going, fuck it. Why can't I do that?
Of course.
Apply. You have something to say. People want to hear it. And... Who knows? You have nothing to lose if you don't
try. There's nothing to lose. Your company will love you for it.
As Michael Scott once said, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
That's not him. Whatever.
Wayne Gretzky, Michael Scott.
Yeah, anyway, same. Thanks,
Thank
guys.
You,
thanks for tuning in.
See you on stage.
Bye.
Bye.